He's calling, wake up, child. It's your time to shine. You were born for such a time as this, such a time as this.
Take up the whole armor of God. Whole armor of God, not pieces. I've got this, Shane. I'm in this every day. Well, wonderful. But what about the other armor? He loves Bible thumpers. He loves those who are in this but don't have humility. He loves those who are in this but wouldn't dare come to a worship service. Worship? I'm beyond that, really. I've had people say, I don't need that. You actually do need that, because the Bible isn't to be worshiped. It points us to the person that we worship. But it's not the Father, the Son, and the Holy Word. It's the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. So the Word is life to me.
Thank you for joining us here at Westside Christian Fellowship, located in Leona Valley, California, 1 hour north of Los Angeles. Today's message on regaining lost ground is titled, Engage the Enemy with God's Weapons, and is a special message from the sermon series, Theology on Fire. Charles Spurgeon once said, "The Christian soldier hath no gun and no sword, for he fighteth not with men. It is with spiritual wickedness in high places that he fights, and with other principalities and powers than with those that sit on thrones and hold scepters in their hands." Please join us as Pastor Shane brings us hope through God's living word, encouraging us to seek a stronger prayer life with God, remembering that as a believer, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Regaining Lost Ground is sponsored by the generous supporters of the ministries of Westside Christian Fellowship. For more information, visit us online at westsidechristianfellowship.org. We also encourage you to hear more truth from Pastor Shane with the Idleman Unplugged weekly podcast. And please be sure to follow us on most social media platforms. And now, from Westside Christian Fellowship in Leona Valley, California, here's Pastor Shane Idleman.
The title is Engage the Enemy with God's Weapons. Engage the enemy with God's weapons, because a soldier of Christ, I know you haven't, are not used to being called that, but you are a soldier for Christ. You are actually on enemy territory. Isn't that interesting? But I thought God's sovereign. It's all God's. Everything rests in God's sovereignty, but the prince of this world, the prince of the air, is given temporary influence of where we live. So we are actually on enemy territory. So you can't really change the battlefield. The battlefield's been given. But you can bring in the correct weapons. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not physical. They are spiritual. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Martin Luther, many of you know who that was. He was a reformer in 1517. He challenged the church on many different issues. He said this, "Where the battle rages, there the loyalty of the soldier is tested." Where the battle rages, it's raging right now, that's where the loyalty of the soldier is tested. And we do forget, myself included, we think that Christianity is just kind of waiting for heaven and just kind of going through life and waiting till that day, but the Bible reminds us that we are soldiers engaged in spiritual warfare. We don't like that all the time, but that's just the way it is. And I can't remember who said it. I heard it on the radio recently. It was a great point. But that when we go into battle, or when we live our lives, it's a continual battle until the day we die. Trying not to bring bad news, I'm trying to equip you. Because think about the children of Israel trying to get out of Egypt, trying to cross the Red Sea, trying to cross the Jordan. Then they go to Jericho. The walls are there. And then they come to another battle, another battle, another battle, another battle, another battle, another battle. Giants, obstacles. It's just a constant battling. And that's the way warfare is in the spiritual realm. Because as a believer, you're wanting to live for Christ. The enemy doesn't like that. So you're going to get hit at work. You'll get hit in your family life. The enemy will go after two key areas, your faith, where maybe cause doubt, unbelief to creep in, or he'll go after your diligence, and it will become lazy. When you become spiritually lazy, that's a bad spot to be, because you begin to put down the weapons, and then the enemy can enter in. So we're going to look at, obviously, Ephesians 6:10, And this could have been broken up better for you. I apologize. Because I didn't know where the breaking points were. And God, until last night, I was changing things. So I've learned over the years to just go with that change and not try to, well, you know, the sermon's done, Lord. I'm not going to touch that again. Because it's usually on the points that change or the points that come alive during the message. Ephesians 6:10. Paul, well, let's put this in context. Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus. He's encouraging them. He's building them up. He's talking about in chapter 1, election and how they've been chosen by God. He talks about marriage and children, obeying your parents. And if you have 20 minutes, just 20 minutes, read Ephesians. It's an incredible. See, you can get through the Bible quicker than you think if we're diligent about it. Right? We see our favorite series on Netflix. We can be very diligent about watching it. But when it comes to reading the Bible, well, we get a little spiritually lazy. So Ephesians 6:10, Paul says this, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of what? His might. His might. This was a wonderful reminder for me. Remember, as before I preached to you, God's preaching to me, by the way, in case you didn't know that. I was just hit by this week, the power of His might. Because here's what happens many times in the life of a believer. We say, hey, God, thank you. I got this now. Right? Oh, there's a lot of head shaking. Good. Have you ever said, God, I got this now. Thank you. Thank you for last week. Thank you for last month. Thank you for handling that. I got this now. I got this now. And then we go into battle unprepared, unarmed. And so the first thing we have to recognize in engaging the enemy with God's weapons is you go in the power of His might. You continue in the power of the Holy Spirit. See, the only thing making the difference in this church right now is the power of the Holy Spirit. The only thing that's going to really make a difference is the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul actually wrote to the church in Galatia. He said something very interesting that's always stood out to me in the last 20 years. I think of it often. He asked them a question. He says, who has bewitched you? Who has tricked you? Oh, foolish Galatians, who's bewitched you? It wasn't a TV show. It was bewitched, tricked, deceived you. Are you going to finish in the flesh what began in the spirit? So this church that began in the spirit is now trying to finish in the flesh? What he means by that is the Spirit comes in, anoints something, transforms something, relying on the Spirit. The Spirit is directing and praise and worship. But now we say, okay, God, I got that. The church is a good size now. We've accomplished things. Now we're going to get into a business model. Now we're going to have certain methods and certain machineries to keep the church going. I wish I would have brought this quote from E.M. Bounds. I read it this week. He said, the church does not need better methods, it needs better men. Not God's Spirit doesn't fall on machinery, He falls on men and women filled with the Spirit of God. So one of the biggest areas the enemy goes after us is to get us back in the flesh. And that was a rebuke, in case you didn't get it by Paul. Who has bewitched you? What about if I told you that? Who's bewitched you, oh foolish West Sidians? Are we going to finish in the flesh, what began in the spirit? But that has practical application to our own lives, doesn't it? We know, many of you, you know, remember what God did in my life. Remember how He was working. Why don't I go back to that? Why don't I go back to that power, back to that anointing? Do you remember when you would cry during prayer? Or maybe some of you haven't done that. Remember when God was working, I was so excited to tell people about Jesus. Remember, I wouldn't even make a decision without taking it to prayer if it was a major decision. But now I'm doing everything in my own strength and I've got nothing but problems. Life is confusing. Things are falling apart. I'm trying to finish in the flesh what began in the spirit. So remember that we have to do this in God's might. And it's a lifelong struggle. The enemy looks for opportune times, for perfect times where he can come in. And it's often when we let our guard down. That's what he's looking for. When we let our guard down, he says, there's an open door. And that usually begins with compromise. We begin to compromise. And I let me just give an example I've seen so many times. Maybe it's a man, usually, and they're going to get a job, a different job, a better job with more pay. And I'm not against it. I think we have to make wise decisions. But that more pay comes with a cost. I'll no longer see you on Sundays. I used to get up and read the Bible, but I don't have time for that now. And I've got, off the top of my head, five, six friends who are still working, who told me 10 years ago, but I'll just make quick money, I'll be able to retire. Or I'll be able to change then. I'll be able to give time back to my family. Just a few years of this. That's all I need. And it doesn't happen that way. We get deeper and deeper when we allow compromise to come in. In the power of His might. Always remember this. This has helped me a lot. The shed blood of Jesus Christ is more powerful than your sin. His might. His might. The psalmist said something interesting. He said, I will lift up my eyes to the hills. What is he talking about? I will lift up my eyes to the hills from where my help comes from. God, the maker of heaven and earth, who never sleeps, who never slumbers, you've got me. And to us, we might think, well, that doesn't make a lot of sense. Well, let me refresh your memory about the Old Testament. They often fought where? In a valley or atop of a mountain? In a valley. So it's this view here of here comes my enemy. Here comes my enemy, but I look to the hills. I look to the hills. Where does my help come from? It comes from God, the maker of heaven and earth. That's why that new song that's out that says, when I'm surrounded, I realize that I'm surrounded by you. So no enemy is so great that it can take you out if you're surrounded by God. So look to the hills, church. Look to the hills. Not to the stock market, not to your bank account, not to the circumstances. I look to the hills. That's where my help comes from. And it's this wonderful image of God just coming, the angels of heaven coming down off the hills and saying, oh, I've got this. And we just step back and we allow God to fight our battles. So engage Him with God's weapons. Let's talk about those. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the honesty of the devil. That didn't even sound right. That you may be able to stand against the wiles. You know, we know what that word means, don't we? The trickery, the deceitfulness. He's a trickster. He's a con artist. He's a liar. So there's trickery that's involved when he gets us away from the good shepherd. There's trickery, it's deceit. And then verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And I like this passage for one reason only. Paul tells me that this is serious business. Just look at that arsenal. You're fighting against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. And it's a picture here, wrestling. You know what wrestling is, I'm sure most of you, right? You're actually, what's the point of wrestling? Grappling. You grab your opponent, you throw that opponent to the ground, and you get the upper hand. Mercy, right, help, you know, and uncle, all those things. And in real wrestling, you pin them. Your shoulders, and there's a different, but you can't do that with the devil. There's nothing to grab onto. So we don't wrestle. There's something to grab onto. You're not going to grab onto something. You're not going to fix this through anger. You're not going to grab on and fight this with your hands. It's a spiritual battle. So who are the spiritual hosts of wickedness? Well, let me introduce you to them. And of course, commentaries, I mean, everybody's got opinions, and you should just look up the root word and what it means in the Hebrew or the Greek in this case. But principalities are rulers over certain areas. There's a principality, prince of Persia, we read about in Daniel, obviously withstood the angel, and principalities are over a certain area. Now, I don't want to get too off here on a rabbit trail, and because many have, there's not a demon over California. and an angel over Texas, and an angel over a different state that you want to be in, and Maine up there. Whoo, that's a demon of Maine. And it's not, I don't think he's talking about that. But you do know when you walk into an area, and I mentioned last week, when you walk into an area of spiritual darkness, say in Africa, where there is voodoo, and you can feel it. There's an oppression. There's a principality over that area. There's darkness there. And have you ever went into somebody's house and you can feel that? I mean, there's been apartments I've been into, and I just walk in and like, Lord, I need a shower after this, even though it's not dirty. There's just darkness. There's this oppression. So nobody knows exactly how it works, but that's what principalities are. They rule over a certain area. And then powers. What it says here that our fight is against powers. You need to know this. The world's power is controlled by a spiritual influence. The world's powers are controlled by a spiritual influence. That's why you will rarely see a God-honoring government. Is there one in China right now? North Korea? Middle East anywhere? Our nation vacillates. You know, we call good evil and evil good, and then we try this and try this. And there's always that jockeying for position of power. There's a power there. Now, again, I truly believe that God has called us to be the salt and the light amongst that darkness. And that doesn't mean that all government has to be bad. The people believe that. I've had people tell me that all aspects of government are bad. That's an area of power, the world's power, that we need to be careful of. Because remember this, if the world's power is under control of the enemy, what influence are you listening to? Especially young adults. And I'll be careful here, I'll qualify it in a minute. But if it's popular, you might not want to follow it in all cases. The most popular movies, you might want to not be watching them. The most popular music, with vulgar things, you might want to reconsider your iTunes choices. The most popular things to do, what's the most popular is often under the control of the enemy, is it not? So rulers of darkness, that's what they are. They are rulers of darkness. Paul told the church in Corinth, the God of this world, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So that's what there's two roles, I believe. The God of this world, the powers of darkness are trying to blind the people to the truth of God's word. That's clear. But then he works against believers to try to get them to lose the battle. To lose the warfare, is there anything more embarrassing than a testimony that falls apart? I mean, is anybody following Christian news? All these mega church pastors having to resign because of sexual sin and, you know, women in the congregation and hitting on them. Like, what's more terrible than that? This organization, this large denomination, these large churches in our nation. These things are coming out. And that's what the enemy, he brings a testimony against us to hurt the testimony of Christ. And I believe that's one of the ways that we win people, if you want to use that term, to believing in Jesus, is they see the Christ they read about or hear about in us. Not a perfect Christ, because you've done it before, I've done it before. We apologize to people and they're like, oh, no problem. I appreciate that humility, or appreciate that asking for forgiveness. And so they see Christ in us. But if you ruin that testimony, it sends the wrong message to so many different people. That's why also the testimony of that big homeschooling family that locked up their kids, 14 kids, and it's in the news, and maybe I shouldn't have said if you don't know about it. But, you know, now let's go against homeschooling. Now let's go against Christians. Look at, no, wrong. I will just say it. That family would is not the parents are not believers to treat kids like that. There's a name there, but not the correct relationship with God. And so the enemy will use things to tarnish the testimony. And that's one of the reasons we need the spiritual warfare. Verse 13, because of all this, okay, now that I haven't told you where the battle is, you are leaving here fighting principalities. Everyone in this room, if you are a believer, you are leaving here fighting the demonic realm. It's not very encouraging, is it? Okay, well, we're going to get encouraged here. That's my dilemma. Do I encourage or do I tell you the truth? Or both? We need both, of course. I'm joking. You know me by now. Verse 13, therefore, because of this, because of all this darkness, take up the whole armor of God. And that word whole kept standing out all week. Whole armor of God, not pieces. Well, I've got this, Shane. I'm in this every day. Well, wonderful. But what about the other armor? Because you have this. He's just going to come in the side. He loves Bible thumpers. He loves those who are in this but don't have humility. He loves those who are in this but wouldn't dare come to a worship service. Worship? I'm beyond that. Really? I've had people say, I don't need that. Okay. Well, I stand corrected. You actually do need that. Because the Bible isn't to be worshipped. It points us to the person that we worship. Now, this is coming from somebody who loves the Word of God. But it's not the Father, the Son, and the Holy Word. It's the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. So the Word is life to me. The Word, drink deep in the well of God's Word, but that points you ultimately to the Master. This is the means to get to the relationship with God, to better understand His character and His nature. So this is just one aspect of it. And on that flip side, worship is just one aspect. If all you do is come to worship, you know, and you just worship, and it's just worshiping only. It's all about unity, brother. I don't care what the Word of God says. That's wrong too, because the Word of God checks your feelings. It checks your experiences. There are New Age worshipers that would put Christians to shame. They could come in and worship a higher being, looking to their inner self. They would be up here, they'd just be standing, chanting, you wouldn't even know it, you think they're speaking in tongues or something, and they're worshiping, and they're really worshiping the trees and themselves. So worship alone isn't the answer either. Because there are many people, and I know people that they love to worship, they'll spend 2 hours worshiping God, but never in the Word. They're unbalanced. Because the heart is deceitful. Jeremiah said, your heart, my heart is desperately wicked. My heart, the side of me, the fleshly side of me that doesn't know God is desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's why God says, I will test the mind. I'll test your actions. I'll show you where your heart is. So you need worship to line up with this.
It's your turn to shine. You born. He's calling, wake up, child. It's your turn to shine. You were born for such a time as this, such a time as this.
You've been listening to Regaining Lost Ground with Pastor Shane Eidelman. You can find more information at westsidechristianfellowship.org. That's westsidechristianfellowship.org. And for all the latest on what God is doing with His ministry here, please be sure to follow us on most social media platforms. Westside Christian Fellowship is located 60 miles north of Los Angeles in Leona Valley, California. Thank you again for listening to today's message of Regaining Lost Ground, where we are reminded daily, times change, truth does not.
I want to hear the Father when He calls. He's calling. Such a time as this, He's calling, wake up, child. It's your turn to shine.
Regaining Lost Ground is sponsored by the generous supporters of the ministries of Westside Christian Fellowship.